G'day, how are you?
Really good. Hey, where are you at the moment?
I'm up in Brisbane at the moment, dodging the raindrops up here. So I'm up here for the Shield game that's going on with Queensland South Australia. So we managed to get a little bit of play in today, but it's all very heavily dependent on the weather.
Yeah, look, if it's not COVID, it's cricket's nemesis rain, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. There's been a lot of water falling up here, so we'll have to see how we go.
Darren, it's been a good journey for you. It's been an up and down one with a bit of a break, but we'll come to that later. But did you play much sport as a young kid growing up? And where are you actually hail from officially?
I was born in Launceston, and we moved up to Alveston on the northwest coast when I was about four, I think it was.
Mm.
So I've lived most of my life up there. And my sport when I was younger really was basketball. I played a lot of basketball with the Hoppers, and doing that sort of stuff, and then got involved in cricket umpiring when I was playing under 12s. It was a bit of an interesting story. Like, the association at the time was quite short of umpires, so a fellow called Frank Stanton had the idea of trying some young lads in umpiring. So I was actually one of three that started umpiring when I was 12 years old.
Hmm.
In the NWTCA, as it was then, and starting in second grade and going on from there.
Was John Eastwood amongst that?
He was,
group?
yes. And Peter Winwood was the first.
Yeah.
Eastwood and myself, yeah.
Yeah, I can remember Peter Winwood, yeah, and he was a pretty good umpire, Peter, and also yeah. John. I mean, they were pretty lucky to come across the three of you, because giving you an opportunity as a junior and then you performing so well, I mean, that's a bit of a bonus, isn't it, to umpire him, because it's a tough job.
Yeah, it is. It is a pretty tough job at times, but, you know, it can be quite rewarding as well. Yeah, and I think at that time the association just wanted to try something different, because usually you would hope that ex-players and stuff would come and join the ranks and take up umpiring, and there was just a shortage of numbers. So, yeah, that's why they started off the experiment, if you like.
Can you remember the first game you umpired?
Oh, I can, yes. It was a second grade game at West Park in Burnie, and it was Penguin versus Burnie. So that was back in the day
yep.
when Penguin had a team.
Yep.
And I remember the first game I did was with Bob Marshall, ex-policeman, who
yep.
umpired first-class cricket as well. And I can remember my first boundary that I signalled, and I was shouting at the scorers that it was a four, and Bob had to tell me, well, you don't actually have to shout at the scorers, just signal.
Oh, now, can you remember who hit the boundary?
I can't, sorry. I didn't stretch that
That's
far.
Just stretching you a little bit too far, isn't it?
Yeah.
As you just mentioned, as an umpire, you were blooded quite early, and as a first grade umpire, it was quite early. What age were you when you umpired your first grade game, or A grade game as we called them back then?
Yeah, that's right. I was 14, so
yeah.
That was in 1982. So, yeah, started doing A-grade regularly, when I was 14. I can't quite remember my first A-grade game, but I reckon you must have been around there somewhere playing for Devonport.
Yeah, I would have been. I think players accepted you pretty well. I think you proved yourself to a lot of us old barnacled up cricketers to make some really, really good decisions. And I think early in the piece, all of the guys were sort of said, well, this guy knows his stuff. That's good. Do you think you were accepted pretty well by all the players?
I did feel that, actually. I think, you know, guys just wanted the umpiring to be consistent and, you know, get most of the decisions right. You know, we are only human after all, so we don't get everything right.
Hmm.
I did feel that I was pretty well accepted amongst the ranks. So, you know, that helped to make things a little bit easier.
And umpiring in pairs, like as a team, I suppose it's so you need to be the individual who's going to make that call. But obviously, umpiring with experienced umpires, was that the way that that Lance Cox and the team sort of put you in, just with some really good, solid, experienced umpires, just to get a bit of a feel for it?
That's exactly right. Because, you know, umpiring it's actually a bit of an art form. Making the decisions is only really just a part of it. There's lots of other aspects to it as well. and you can't beat experience. So yeah, and that's the way, and that's still the way that you blood new umpires into cricket now, is to put them with the old heads, the experienced heads that you can really learn a lot from. And that's what Lance did back in the day, and that really helped me along my journey.
What's the hardest part of it? I mean, obviously getting all the decisions correct. I mean, we can default out to that because we know that umpires are not going to get everything right, as you quite correctly said. But what's the toughest part? Is it being able to concentrate for long periods of time and still be able to hear that nick or watch that LBW that wasn't going down leg?
I think that is the whole concentration aspect of it. I mean, if you think about a game of cricket, and particularly when you're looking at, say, a two-day game or a four-day game, the only two guys that are on the field for the entire game are the two umpires.
Mm.
And so, you know, you are standing for a very long time, and you've got to really learn how to switch on and switch off. It's not really switching off. It's more like switching up and switching down.
Hmm.
That is something that just comes over time, because you do have to be ready for that one moment when everything's quiet and then suddenly there's a huge, massive appeal.
Yeah.
And you have to be ready for that.
Is there anything that you could do during the week to assist you with that? I mean, I know it's probably just simply you need to get it right on the day and you need to do all those things on the day, but was there anything that actually helped you during the week for what you were coming up against on the weekend?
You can do a lot of. I guess it's the same process that players go through, doing a bit of visualisation and that kind of thing. Looking at the way that you move out from the stumps at the bowler's end to get out as quickly as you can to get side on with the line for run outs. And particularly nowadays, we use a lot of footage of decisions. We, particularly at the Cricket Australia level that I'm at now, we analyse every decision that we make because there's footage of it. We're lucky enough to have that. You do practice in between those times when you go out on the park between games.
Darren, stick with us. We'll take a break and come back after that break. I'm speaking to Darren Close, one of Tasmania's best first-class cricket umpires. Back soon. Welcome back to the Sideline View. Michael Maney with you through until 6 o'clock this evening. My special guest is Darren Close, who's a first-class cricket umpire and from Tasmania. And Darren, before we were talking about how you keep your concentration up during games and what you can do, etc. But I tell you what, you'll be kept awake quite a bit with the sledging that goes on in cricket matches. I guess you've heard a few good sledges in your time, but how have you viewed that? Because particularly when you're a 14-year-old umpiring your first few matches, etc., and then you've got all these blokes carrying on like idiots, thinking that it's the test match for them in Madras or something. How did you cope with that?
Oh, look, it's a really interesting one. I mean, I think sledging has always kind of been a part of the game, and sometimes it is really difficult to step in, and particularly when I was at that age, to step in with the older guys. I always remember I was doing a Shield game at Devonport Oval. New South Wales were playing Tassie, and Jeff Lawson was bowling. And I was about, I must have been 19 or so, and he was coming in and bowling. Was quite frustrated because there were lots of nicks that were going through the slips and down to the boundary for four, so his language was a little bit fruity. So I had to kind of say to him, look, mate, you're going to have to stop saying those words. And he looked at me and he went, I've been playing cricket for longer than you've been alive. And then he walked back. But, yeah. You know, it's just, it is part of the game, and you've just got to remind guys of what their, or just had to remind guys what their responsibility was, and, you know, go from there.
You don't, and the other thing is not to be intimidated by that, because he's obviously blowing off a bit of steam, and in the and at the end of the game, people say, "Oh, sorry about that, mate. I just got a bit fired up there." Blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And normally that's what's happened when the pressure cooker is turned off. You know, players are sometimes quite remorseful, aren't they?
They are. They are, yeah. And, you know, white line fever is quite common, and it's quite, you know, an exciting game, and it's good when you're a bowler that you might, you know, get a wicket and what have you. So sometimes they do get a bit carried away. But, yeah, when the dust settles, things are usually pretty civil and pretty calm.
And you umpired continuously for many years, and then you had a bit of a break. Would I be right in saying that? You didn't umpire for quite some period of time. Was that enforced on you, or was that you just wanted to take a breather?
No, I took a breather. I'd been umpiring since I was 12 every summer, and I managed to be fortunate enough to get to first class level when I was 18. And then I umpired for about 6 years at first class level. And I got the travel bug, really, and wanted to go overseas and do some travelling around. So really, I only kind of planned on going over to the UK for a year. And in actual fact, that ended up turning into 20. And I met my wife, Claire, and I was teaching, and we had a family and all of that sort of stuff. So, you know, it's just funny, the twists and turns that life takes sometimes.
I didn't realise it was that long.
Yes, it was 20 years.
Yeah, well, and it was brilliant for me. I always spent a bit of time in Adelaide and always watched the cricket. Next thing you know, Darren Close bobs up again. I think, oh, he's back. Where has he been, sort of thing? So did you do anything when you were overseas? Did you do any umpiring? Did you play any sport? Did you, or was it just all about just settling over there for a little while and getting your life sorted?
I did the sort of Aussie thing when I went over and did a bit of travelling. I played a bit, actually. So I played more, really, than I'd ever played before in my life, just for a local village team. Just playing Sunday cricket, and warm-up was generally a pint in the pub before we played, you know, that kind of stuff. And yeah. I really enjoyed that. Mm. I think I umpired one game for somebody who they needed an umpire, and I said, oh, I've umpired before. So I sort of jumped in. But then I got involved in my sort of teaching career, and teaching's pretty intense in the UK, and I just kind of went down that line and kind of drifted away from cricket a bit. And then when we made the decision to come and live back in Tassie is when I kind of picked it up again.
Mm. Okay. And coming back into a whole brand new set of protocols, including DRSs and all those types of things, when you're particularly in the Big Bash, which must be pretty exciting to be part of.
The Big Bash is really exciting to be a part of. It's a real event, and I feel really quite privileged to have been able to be a part of that. But yes, it's a completely different world from when I umpired the first time around. There's a lot more scrutiny now. And that comes from all quarters, really, including the media. It's just a completely different way. But there are a lot more kind of support mechanisms in place now for umpires. We have there's the state coach, there's two national coaches, and things like that. So there is a lot that goes on in the background in terms of supporting umpires now. Whereas years ago, you were kind of self-sufficient, really. And you just sort of got on with it.
And I guess with a lot of the scrutiny, well, because there's a bit of a Tasmanian flavour around the place, because Dean Hills is that analyst, I guess, for the Australian cricket team. We've got Sam Nagoski, who's also umpiring, etc., and yourself. So the Tasmanians are taking over. Rod Tucker, of course, who played for Tasmania.
Played for Tassie, yes, that's right. I umpired Rod when he played. We've also got Mike Graham-Smith, who's from the Burnie area.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the national panel, so that's the three of us, Sam, Mike and myself. We are kind of punching above our weight a bit, I suppose.
Now, have you watched much netball lately?
Watched the odd game or two.
Your daughter, Grace, is forging her own way in netball, isn't she? Playing for Devon. You must be very proud of her achievements so far.
We are very proud of her. She's done really, really well. And I know she was a guest on your program at one stage.
Yes, she was.
She's done really well. She made the under-19 state team, but unfortunately, due to COVID, that all got a bit curtailed. But they had a really good season in the under-19s with Devon last year, and she managed to be to be the player of the final, and they won the whole thing. So, yeah, we're really, really proud.
So we're talking about Grace Close, everyone, if you're listening out there, who's played with distinction, really, with Devon. She's come through and she's really starting to go. And I think Darren, with Tasmania maybe getting a netball team in the national netball competition, that would be her goal, wouldn't it, I suppose, to play in that National Netball League, and particularly if they come to Tassie, to play for Tassie.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, indeed, and hopefully those opportunities will come, and not only for Grace, but for obviously all of the girls here in Tasmania. Yeah, so yeah, that certainly would be her aim, and we obviously will support her as much as we can to be able to do that.
Closey, thanks for picking up the phone. Been good to catch up again. I know I just messaged you randomly the other day, and you were so kind to get back really quickly. And I know you're in the middle of a game of cricket. It was about 8 o'clock Queensland or Tasmania time, about 7 o'clock Queensland time over there. So thanks for coming on the program, Darren. Appreciate it.
No worries, mate. Take care.